Hey guys, just a quick one before we get into this episode. I just wanted to talk to you all about a brilliant app that I've been using recently and has genuinely changed my long commute into work and just any spare moments I have during the day. Now that app and company is called Audible. Audible is an online audiobook and podcast platform which has a huge variety of incredible books and podcasts, perfect for any situation and any mood. Honestly, there are thousands to choose from and you can literally never run out. I'm currently listening to Barack Obama's book called Barack Obama, which he reads himself in his unbelievably soothing voice. But seriously, guys, it's a fascinating listen. By clicking the link in this episode description on whichever platform you're using, you can get a 30-day free trial with Audible and listen to Barack's and many other stories. Go on, give it a click and open up your ears to the brilliance of Audible. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Finals Countdown series, which is brought to you by MedTalks. In today's talk, we're still in the gastroenterology section and we're going to be talking about a condition called autoimmune hepatitis. Now, before we get into the meat of this episode, I'd just like to take a moment to talk about the sponsors of this episode, and they are Wesleyan. Wesleyan is a company that was set up way back in 1841 and they provide tailored financial advice and products to multiple professional groups, including doctors, dentists, and teachers. And I'd like to touch on Wesleyan's latest project called The Next Step. So The Next Step is born from the Wesleyan tradition of giving back. Built in collaboration with final year students, The Next Step brings together some of the brightest sparks in medicine for live events, workshops, exam resources, content, and podcasts to make the step into F1 a little easier. They address subject matter you didn't know that you needed to know. So go on and follow them on Instagram by searching at The Wes Next Step, Facebook by searching at The Next Step -Wesleyan, or visit their website, which is thenextstep.wesleyan.co.uk. Okay, now back to the episode. So, autoimmune hepatitis is a chronic condition with an unknown etiology, where there is inflammation and necrosis of the liver, which can eventually lead to liver cirrhosis. So it's autoimmune, which means the body's own immune system starts to attack the liver cells, or the hepatocytes. The autoantibodies most commonly involved are the anti-nuclear antibody, which attacks the nuclei in our cells, the anti-smooth muscle antibody, which attacks our smooth muscle, anti-liver kidney microsomal 1 antibody, antibodies against the soluble liver antigen, so anti-SLA, anti-mitochondrial antibody, and anti-phospholipid antibodies. So, autoimmune hepatitis is split into three types, depending on which autoantibody is present. So there's type 1, which is the most common type, and it accounts for about 75% of cases. Typically, the patient is under 40 years old. A quarter of these patients have cirrhosis at presentation, and about 80% respond to treatment. The autoantibodies that are involved are most often anti-nuclear antibody and the anti-smooth muscle antibodies. Then there's a type 2, which is much less common, and this involves the anti-liver kidney microsomal 1 antibody and the anti-liver cytosolic 1 antibodies. And typically, this involves younger girls, and it occurs alongside another autoimmune disease, and it responds less to treatment than type 1. And then there's a third type, which again is much rarer. This is similar to type 1, but it's negative for anti-smooth muscle and anti-nuclear antibodies. And it has antibodies against soluble liver antigen or liver pancreas antigen. So typically, autoimmune hepatitis affects young to middle-aged women with a bimodal distribution, so 10 to 30 years old or over 40 years old. Right, so how does it present? Well, it can present in various ways. It can be acute, severe, asymptomatic, or chronic. About 40% may present with symptoms of acute hepatitis and signs of autoimmune disease, which include fever, myalgia, and upper abdominal discomfort, pruritus or itching because of the jaundice and excessive bilirubin buildup, anorexia, skin rashes, including acne. Some patients may present with arthralgia and even pruritus, which can present with chest pain. Pruritus is inflammation of the pleura. Specific signs may include hepatomegaly, jaundice, which is in approximately 50% of patients, splenomegaly, spidernevi, which are swollen blood vessels or telangiectasias beneath the skin, and these look like a spider's web, ascites, so this is excessive fluid within the abdominal cavity, and encephalopathy if it's really severe. So that's the more acute presentation. It can be asymptomatic or present with gradual jaundice, or even be diagnosed incidentally with signs of chronic liver disease. So that brings me on to the diagnosis. Now, unfortunately, there are no specific diagnostic features of autoimmune hepatitis. So the diagnosis is made based on clinical, pathological, immunological, and histological tests, coupled with the exclusion of other diseases that may also explain the patient's presentation. Okay, so we've spoken about the signs and symptoms that patients may present with. Now, what about blood tests? Well, in autoimmune hepatitis, there are elevated aminotransferases. And specifically, or mainly, alanine transaminase and aspartate transaminase are elevated on initial presentation, and they may normalize with treatment or even spontaneously. These are markers of hepatocytic damage. So autoimmune hepatitis involves destruction of liver cells or hepatocytes, which releases these enzymes into the circulation. So when we perform blood tests to check the levels of these enzymes, they are found to be high. And these enzymes are actually involved in the breakdown of amino acids. Typically, the ALT will be much higher than the AST because ALT is more specific to the liver, whereas AST is also produced elsewhere in the body, such as the muscles and the heart. The serum ALP or alkaline phosphatase, mildly raised, or it may even be normal. If there is more than a twofold elevation, then we should consider an alternative or additional diagnosis. There will be elevated IgG positive autoantibodies. So serum protein electrophoresis will show an IgG predominant polyclonal hypergammaglobulinemia, which is a common finding in untreated autoimmune hepatitis. And it's essentially just increased production of several different types of immunoglobulins, which is typically due to infections, inflammatory responses, or various different reactive processes. Furthermore, there'll be hypoalbuminemia and a prolonged prothrombin time, and these are markers of severe hepatic or liver dysfunction. In the full blood count, there will be anemia of chronic disease due to this autoimmune condition, and thrombocytopenia because of the hypersplenism, splenomegaly. In terms of imaging, it's not always useful, but an ultrasound scan or even a CT or MRI scan may show cirrhosis, and is also good to rule out hepatocellular carcinoma, which can have similar presenting features. The most diagnostic procedure to perform in patients with autoimmune hepatitis is a liver biopsy. And if patients have acute hepatitis, then this should be done as soon as possible. And what it will show is hepatitis with portal plasma cell infiltrate. It's useful for prognosis, and if patients have got cirrhosis at presentation, then this means a poorer prognosis. So, often those patients with one autoimmune condition have other associated ones. So, autoimmune thyroid disorders, such as Graves or Hashimoto's, are commonly associated with autoimmune hepatitis. And additionally, conditions like diabetes, primary sclerosing cholangitis, which we've spoken about in the previous talk, so go and check that one out, ulcerative colitis, which we've also spoken about in this section, pernicious anemia, glomerulonephritis, and several others. Right, so how are we going to treat a patient with autoimmune hepatitis? So their immune system is flaring up and causing damage to the liver. So we need to try and suppress the immune system, and we do that with steroids. Steroids inhibit the immune response mediated by B and T cells, and patients with moderate to severe inflammation should definitely be given steroids. The targets for remission are normalization of the serum ALT and AST, normalization of serum IgGs, and ideally, the histological cessation of active liver inflammation. Another medication that's used to dampen down and suppress the immune system is azathioprine, which targets enzymes involved in DNA synthesis, so therefore targets the synthesis of T and B cells, which require DNA, as do all of the other cells in our body. Sometimes other medications can be used. So if patients are intolerant to azathioprine, then medications like mycophenolate, cyclosporine, tacrolimus, rituximab, which are all immunosuppressants, may be tried. And if there is minimal or limited response to these medical interventions, then the last step would be liver transplantation. And this is indicated for terminal phases of autoimmune hepatitis. But it's important to note that recurrence may occur even if someone's liver has been removed and given a new liver. So, how should patients with autoimmune hepatitis be monitored? Well, they should definitely be vaccinated for hepatitis A and hepatitis B, because for patients to have viral hepatitis on top of autoimmune hepatitis is just asking for trouble. They need regular monitoring, so blood tests, especially liver function tests, full blood count, serum glucose. They require calcium and vitamin D supplements, because patients with liver cirrhosis can eventually lead to osteoporosis, and so they need bone protection. DEXA scans, and also they will be on steroids, which can also cause osteoporosis. And so DEXA scans should be performed prior to commencing steroid treatment and repeated every couple of years. Additionally, steroids can cause things like glaucoma, cataracts, so patients should be screened 12 months after starting prednisolone treatment for glaucoma and cataracts. What complications can occur? Well, hyperviscosity syndrome can occur, and this is secondary to the high serum levels of immunoglobulin G. Hepatocellular carcinoma may also occur, and it's more common in patients with cirrhosis. And there is a 10 to 20% risk of this occurring in patients with cirrhosis. 6-monthly surveillance is recommended to be undertaken in otherwise healthy patients with cirrhosis using ultrasound scans and serum alpha fetal protein, which is a marker of hepatocellular carcinoma. Finally, I'll just mention the prognosis. So without treatment, approximately half of patients with severe autoimmune hepatitis will die in approximately 5 years. Those who are treated with steroids and azathioprine, generally the prognosis is very good. But again, presentation and outcome are so variable. Okay, so that brings me to the end of this talk on autoimmune hepatitis. Today we've covered what it is, how it occurs, how it presents, how we diagnose it, and then how we treat it. And we've also touched on the prognosis and any complications that may arise secondary to it. I really hope you found this talk useful. Again, please remember to share it with your friends, your peers, and anybody else who may find it helpful for exams and just general knowledge for the future as doctors. Check out all of the other episodes in the gastroenterology section and all of the other revision talks we have on our podcast platforms. And as always, give us your feedback. So you can drop a comment on the Apple Podcast channel, or you can email us. Our email is hellomedtalks@gmail.com, or even on Instagram, just message us medtalks.uk. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your feedback and any questions that you may have. Okay, so in the next episode, we'll be covering viral hepatitis, which is another really important topic to talk about. And often students, even myself, can get confused with the different causes, the different antigens and antibodies. So we'll be covering that in great detail. So stay tuned for that one. And all the best with your revision. Take care, and we'll speak to you in the next episode. Goodbye.